Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who knows what polyorchid means and isn't ashamed to admit it to strangers. It's Richard Herring! Oh my goodness. Lovely to be back. I feel the room still slightly reverberating from Brian Blessed being here 2 weeks ago. It's incredible. Still slightly shaking. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre. I was on Finders Keepers the other day, the Richard Stilgo version, not the Neil Buchanan 90s hybrid. Finders Keepers, Another Sleepers, Finders Keepers. Where's that square? No one remembers it apart from me, as we found out last week. And Richard Stilgo, he's the host, he calls it Rehelistopa, so I don't know if that's going to catch on. Lots of things have been going on since last week. I live in a little village in Hertfordshire now, and we went to the PTA school quiz. They had a quiz night, and so I'm sort of meeting all my neighbours, and we're obviously slightly weird, you know, new inhabitants of this village, and the question came up, what does polyorchid mean? And I said, well, it means more than two testicles. And everyone looked at me like I was weird. And they said, oh, no, I think an orchid has stamens, not... I said, put it in, it's testicles. It was testicles, but, you know, was it worth getting that right? In order for now, the rest of me, how does he know? How does that man know? I mean, even I was thinking, well, I think it's testicles, but why would you ever need that word? That's not... I've been so tired. I'm on tour and doing these podcasts, and I left my keys in the door for 16 hours overnight, like literally just in the door, which I used to have a real phobia about when I was a kid, because I think I saw something like Tales of the Unexpected or something where it started, someone left the keys in the door and then someone came in and killed them. In the countryside it's fine, just the postman went, oh, you left your keys in the door, mate, thanks. So it's lovely out in the countryside. If I'd done that in Shepherd's Bush, I'd be dead and my children would be in slavery now. So it's what else has happened? I kind of had a weird thing. Last week I did, after doing this, the next day I was going to do two bits of telly. I'll be back on the telly, UK Gold and Netflix. It was weird because I was an expert on The Young Ones, first of all, and then Rasputin for the Netflix thing. So it's an odd life I now lead, whereas I was sort of an actual proper expert on Rasputin. But I stayed at this hotel opposite the first studio because it didn't feel like worth going home. And when I arrived, I was really held up at the checkers. There's a man going, can I just park outside? Is that like on the A40, this hotel? He's going, can I just park on the lines outside the hotel? And they said, no, no, it's red lines. You have to park in the hotel. And he said, oh, you know, I'm only going to be here for a couple of hours. I'm meeting a friend. I have to. He said, yeah, you have to park in the car park. And he said, well, we don't usually let people in after midnight, but you can come in. And he was really kind of vacillating about doing this. And they said, well, what room's your friend in? He said, I don't know. And then they said, well, what's their surname? He said, I don't know. And I was thinking, what the fuck's going on with it? Why are they being nice to this guy? It seems like he's just trying to get in the car park. And then the lift doors open and a very attractive younger woman came out and went, oh, hello to him, as if she knew him. It didn't seem like a match. I kind of realised why he didn't know his surname. But, like, I don't mind. You know, hotels, that's what hotels are for, right? For comedians to sleep in and people to use prostitutes. Which is fine. But, like, he was just trying to save himself 10 quid. He could have just... I wouldn't have liked to be that prostitute. She's not getting a tip, is what I'm saying. At the end of, well, maybe. Let's move on. Not a tip of a. He might have been Polly Orchid. That man should have had a surprise. So, anyway, let's crack on. My guest this week. She's known for many things. She was, of course, you'll remember the fiddler on one episode of Mystery Science Theatre 3000. We all remember that. She was also Button in Charlotte's Web 2, Wilbur's Great Adventure. Which must be good, because Charlotte died in the first film. So I'm very interested to talk about that. Will you please welcome Maria Bamford, ladies and gentlemen? Sit down. I'm in.
Thank you for having me on your program.
Thank you so much for coming. First of all, you missed your flight yesterday,
yes.
So you've only just got in today.
Yes, because we are dum-dums. yeah. It was a silly... anyways, it's a story that I could tell over and over again and it would still be boring. Forgot to go to the airport.
Well, we thought we'd lost you. I got an email saying, oh, Maria might not be able to make it again. Oh, good. That was a waste of time watching all the Lady Dynamite.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
What a waste of my valuable time.
Yeah, that's what my father said.
Luckily you're here. What do you remember about Charlotte's Web 2? You do quite a lot of cartoon voiceovers.
Yes.
I'm guessing Charlotte's Web 2. I haven't seen it. I'm guessing it was a cartoon.
It was a cartoon. Okay. And there was some bits of singing and it went straight to DVD. It pays. And that was the first thing was able to get a job at. I was a secretary at an animation studio They said, hey, Bamford, do you want to do a voice of a poodle? I was like, yes, I would. And my own voice, of course, as you, I don't know if you already feel like it, is high, irritating, childlike. And so sometimes the ability to change it has felt empowering to me.
If I can change it in any way this evening where people will feel more confident in what I'm saying and want to follow me.
Well, I was going to talk about that very episode of Lady Dynamite, which it's interesting. Like a lot of comedy shows that I love the best. Yeah. When I first watched Lady Dynamite, I thought, there's loads in this, I like it, but it's kind of, I'm not sure what's going on.
No, it's a lot.
But that's true of everything I've ever liked, any comedy show. Don't you think so? If you get it straight away, it's not as rewarding, first of all, but also it's probably not as good. And then I've watched them all again, and it's just so... so good. But there's a really great episode where you're doing that, you're doing your Diane voice. I find it interesting for two reasons. Firstly, because you do a flashback to you working in an office, and there's the office guy who does Austin Powers impression,
exactly.
And everyone thinks he's funny. And then you're going, oh, you want to be a comedian, you want to be a comedian. And you get up and do a bit of your set, and everyone just goes... Because as a comedian, that happens all the time.
But
you get asked, you're a comedian, tell us a joke, and then you go... Really, my stuff isn't going to work out of context or in a cab.
Do you have a specific joke that you sometimes tell people?
I have got a few. You've got some great one-liners, but, I got a few one-liners, but I haven't really got...
I have a street joke that I wrote myself.
Okay.
Jesus, Muhammad, and the elephant-headed Hindu god of good fortune, Ganesh, all walk into a Hooters. Hooters. God appears, and... They're like, oh my God, we're just here because the chicken wings are so good. And it's actually mostly a family-based restaurant. And a lot of these girls, they're working their way through college, and they're actually in dance programs and have scholarships. And Jesus, or God says, oh yeah, well then why do you keep staring at my tits? Ba-bow! Yeah. Hopefully everyone saw that coming at this point in our culture.
I find that interesting, because that's a perennial problem, especially for, I think, any comedian that goes... Well, there's lots of things, because we can talk about your latest special with this as well, but also in that episode, you're dating a guy who doesn't really have a sense of humour.
Right.
And I've got a theory that quite a lot of people don't have a sense of humour, but no one wants to admit that.
I think it is like music or something, because I know I may not have the best taste in music. Like, if I hear something three times, I go, this is good. Like, I'm very suggestible. And so I understand the show is so popular. It's about five scientists in the U.S.
Big Bang Theory.
And I... For whatever it's not, but it's not for me.
No.
It's not for me. They didn't make it for me.
They made it for people who don't understand how jokes work, but want to appear to have a sense of humor. Because if you, I'm not that interested in music, and that's about. If you go to people, I'm not interested in music. They go, ooh. So people have to pretend to like music as well. I think a lot of people pretending. And if you went to people, yeah, I don't really like jokes or understand humor, then that's the end of you as a social being. So I think programs like that and people who do jokes that have a rhythm. That means all the people in the audience who don't understand humour, they can go, ba-ba-da-ba-da, ba-ba-da-ba-dum. They go, this is where I'm meant to laugh.
And that's exactly how I like music. You know, I go, oh, this feels, the beat is so clearly telling me where to nod my head. I don't need a choreographer with this.
The thing about music as well, I remember this story the other week, that... Sometimes sometimes people like to put on music when you're having sex.
Oh.
Have you ever experienced this? And I find that very off-putting.
I have not done that. Anyone? You, sir?
I think maybe some ladies have a skate behind. I don't know. But when I was young and when I'd only had sex about once or twice, the girl I was with put on Sail Away by Enya. And I really was... I was lost. I was absolutely lost. Because, I mean... I just didn't know where... There's no beat to it, and there's no... you're meant to just... I don't know what I was meant to do. It was a disaster.
I always feel like with sex, there's a... at least I feel like I have to really focus. Number one, that I'm having a good time, and then, some customer service issues, and then,
Well, I think especially when you're really young, I was so nervous about having sex.
Yeah,
I was 48 years old. That's right. I added 20 on. But no, absolutely. You feel like you've really got to concentrate.
Yeah.
So anything that's taken you away from the... I once had. I was once given oral sex by someone who was a singer who put on their own album, which was actually quite good because it was like they were still singing but their mouth was full.
Oh, nice!
It was like a sort of. It was like a ventriloquist thing going on.
What genre of music were it did?
It was sort of jazzy thing going on. It was
wonderful.
Easy to enjoy, but it's easier to enjoy a blowjob to music because don't have to do anything for that.
Yeah, and there isn't that sense of responsibility. Or you can, I don't know. Whenever I feel oral sex, if you're the recipient, it feels like there's a sense of deep responsibility to really take in the hard work that's being done on your behalf.
I didn't mean for it to get so fruity so soon. I was going to build up to
that's
the...
That's what happens.
Going to build up to the fruitiness. we'll have a little look at some of the things I've found. It's been an absolute joy to research you because, I think it's interesting, there's a lot of American comedians who aren't massively as famous in UK as they are in America, and there's a lot of
America.
There's a lot of well, America's a big place. But there's a lot of there's a whole wave that have started of things that have started coming over. So there's lots of it's interesting watching Lady Dynamite again and seeing all the people go, oh, that guy's from Parks and Recreation. Yeah. And there's Dick Nataro, and yeah, it's fantastic. So America is shitting all over the world with filmed comedy, I think.
I know.
But anyway, well, let's go back. I know. You were in the touring cast. One of your first jobs was in the touring cast of a Star Trek stage show.
It was from the Deep Space Nine franchise. Yeah. I don't even remember that. I was a Bajoran, which is sort of a... I believe what they were trying to go for is a sort of a Jewish storyline of people that were being genocided, and then somehow we were spiritual, so we wore an earring... a very spiritual earring, and then a very tight space costume and large false chest implants, because that was part of our connection to the universe. Anyways, then was with a Ferengi, and which we were with best ones, of course, are people I will always like they're like Vulcans, and then who are the tall, mad, angry characters in Star Trek?
Yeah, the...
Klingons!
Let's say, yeah. That was easy. That was an easy
yeah, one. They got most of the action, and then we're supposed to chit-chat with people. It was just basically improv.
Yeah.
And I tried to learn more about the character, you know, and get into it and say,
the last memory I have of my parents is clutching a bloody paper doll in the attic as I heard their screams.
But, you know, it was at a mall, and...
And you got an STD from a Vulcan.
Which
must be hard.
It really is. That's one of my pieces of advice to kids. Don't get into a Star Trek show. Get an STD from a Vulcan that you let go for so long. And when you finally go to the Planned Parenthood in Hollywood, California, the doctor says, why did you let this get so bad? The doctor at the Planned Parenthood. Don't do that. Don't do that. Anyways, I give out commencement speeches to universities.
Are you sharing my water there?
Now you talk about STD.
Is it cleared up?
I'm so sorry. Yes. Okay. Oh yeah. No, it wasn't right. Herpes.
Do you know, I've been married for 6 years. Just a chance to get an STD is enough. That is that's just enough. I watched your commencement speech for...
Yes.
And you did this beautiful thing where you were kind of saying they weren't going to pay you, and then you made them pay you.
Yeah, well, it was a classic. I mean, if you're at all self-employed, but, you know, people say, oh, we love you so much, we want you to do this for free. And... yeah, so I made the commencement speech about how I got paid.
Yeah,
which was I went to my business advisor, who is my friend Jackie Cation's father, who is a retired aluminum siding salesman, and he said, "Never say no without a number." That means if you're not sure if you want the job, just say a number you never even got before in your life. That way, you either get a ton of money or you don't have to do it. So their initial parry was zilch. I counteroffered with $20,000. And they came back with the following email. I'm paraphrasing. Oh, you dirty little bird. You and your fat pants with your golden head. We're an education. This is a non-profit. And I do know the university just had a jumble sale to raise $900 million for their new athletic facility, presumably for the poets. Was the University of Minnesota suggesting that I could not get paid for the one thing that I paid them to teach me how to get paid to do? And I tell you, no. Actually, they came back with $10,000, and I felt so bad about it, though, that I gave the money to kids to pay down their student loans in the crowd. But that seems to be the only way I will do kind things if it is in public, and it is grandiose.
Yes. Believe me, I know that feeling. Don't worry, that's fine. So
I'm an atheist, but I'm nothing if not ethically competitive. My husband and I found out that most religious people give 10% of their income away, so we're given 11. We don't even believe in heaven, but we're going!
And you came to study in Edinburgh as well for a year.
Yes, yes.
The University of Edinburgh in 92.
92.
So, and you were in you did the Fringe with the Improverts that year?
No, I didn't do the Fringe. I just, I got super depressed after it was a wonderful year there. I hadn't yet gotten on medication, so everything was sort of a dark circling hole. And so anyway, yeah, I didn't do the Fringe. And then, then I did it later. I think in my 30s, I did the Edinburgh Festival, I think 3 times. Yeah. And it was a lovely experience. I broke even. Let's just say
That's pretty good. That's not on. That doesn't work out. So what I found quite interesting about Lady Dynamite, which doesn't seem like it could be autobiographical, that it is fairly autobiographical.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Totally. I mean, there's less swear words, I think, in my real life, and less blowjobs for sure. In the first series season, they had me giving blowjobs willy-nilly. And again, it's an art form. I mean, you can't just throw that off as if, like, that doesn't take a tremendous amount of effort and skill. And yeah, it bothered me as a premise, you know, just to throw away.
It's George the Sandman's favorite bit of the series when you're about to give a blowjob and then the camera pans away to a picture of an old style picture of someone getting a blowjob.
Someone getting a blowjob.
it is a nice joke. Because I was thinking, oh, you're being quite sniffy doing this kind of parody advert for a supermarket.
Oh, yeah.
And then I found all your Target adverts online as well.
Oh, yes.
So it's all true.
Yes, it's all real. I have, whatever you want to. It's very popular to be diagnosing things, but if you're interested, somebody told me I was bipolar 2, type 2, and that was extremely helpful to me. I got on some mood stabilizer because I did have a massive. I started talking too fast, having a whole lot of shit ideas all at once. And my friend said, hey, let me put you in the back of my Ford Flex and take you to public storage because the first month is free. And yes, because I just, and that runs in my family, and I just had never wanted to take meds, mood stabilizers. They have, the ones I'm on have side effects, so I have a bit of a tremor. It's been suggested to me by some people after shows, hey, why don't you take another medication to offset the hundreds of medications you're already on to make me feel more comfortable? To which I say, weakness is the brand. I don't want to quash this cash cow.
But it's an amazing thing to see you use. I mean, it's what comedians do, but to take that awful life experience and turn it into comedy.
Yeah,
I mean, it's dark comedy, but it's...
Yeah, it's bizarre because you think, I thought I would... You know, I always wanted to make a show, and I thought, I thought when I got ill for a couple, it was like almost a year and a half, I wasn't able to perform or do anything, really. And I thought, so it was... But the hilarious part about it, the worst thing that's ever happened to me became a great gift. Is that in Cahil Gibran somewhere? Is that the philosopher's name, Cahil Gibran? Is that how it's said?
Hildebrand, yeah.
Cahil Gibran, yeah. Okay, sorry.
I don't really know anything about that. Oh, so I might be wrong.
I think that, yeah.
I only know about testicles, that's my series. That's where I'm at. But I mean, as a comedian, I'm often, something bad has happened to me, and nothing that bad has happened to me, but I'm sort of thinking... There's at least as it's happening, I'm thinking there's comedy in that. Were you thinking it as it was happening, or were you too
not.
Far
away? No, too I far did away. Not. No, it felt so bad and so. I mean, I think anybody, if you've had a chronic illness or been afraid of you're dying or so, whatever, your worst fear happens and it's happening, you're like, oh, this is, every moment is unbearable and I can't possibly imagine this getting better at all. And that's, I felt like that for probably like a year. And then I eventually started feeling, it was on these new meds. I'll tell you what I'm on. 1,000 milligrams of Depakote, 50 milligrams of Seroquel's antipsychotic, and 40 milligrams of Prozac. And it is a sweet ride. Or let's call it contentment, whatever's happening here. I'll take it.
Yeah. Well, I'm interested in this, the aspect of it, the unwanted thought syndrome, because I don't think I have it anywhere near like you have it, but I do a routine about, especially once I've had kids. I think you mentioned this in an interview, but you start thinking about the worst things that you could do.
Yes.
Before, it used to be my mobile phone was my most important thing, so I'd imagine throwing that in the river, and that would be the worst thing I could think of. But now it's my kids, it's much, much worse. I'm imagining, I've got a log wood burner in my lounge, and I just keep on... I keep thinking, what would my wife say? First of all, if I tripped and the baby went in there.
Oh, sure, no.
But then what would she say if I just placed him in there? Called her down. Just to see what she would say. Yeah. And it's such, and you're horrifying yourself with the thought.
Yes, yes.
But then you can't stop thinking about it. But then I think what you've got a bit worse than that.
Well, and the great thing is that your mind doesn't have the, like, what I would do is I'd have that thought or something similar, and then I would, when I was a kid, I started having this fear of, like, that I was going to hurt my parents or my sister, and then it started to get, because what happens with OCD, it's like, it's a compulsion, it's a combination of compulsion, and then you try to get the thought out of your mind, and then it gets worse, because thoughts come back as soon as you say, I don't want to think it, and so I had these awful. So, and stand up was a result of, so I didn't have to have close relationships with people or do a lot of eye contact. and that really worked for me for a long time. But I didn't get help for it until I was 35. I went to I just Googled, horrible thoughts. And these OCD sites came up, and I'm like, what? And I went to some guy less than a mile from my house and did the therapy that he told me to do, which was to record in real time as if your thoughts were all happening. So I am now chopping up my parents into bits, chunks and bits, and having the sex with the chunks and bits. Putting the chunks and bits on a Caesar salad and tossing it and feeding it to others. And, just whatever the horrible thing is. And just like as when somebody's fear of contamination, there's a point where your body can't get any more anxious. So you just keep practicing going to that. I'm not an expert in this, but I'm trying to explain. Anyways, so we could go, your brain gets bored by it. That's the amazing thing. It gets bored by the thoughts. And so I haven't had those for a long time. I'm 47 hours.
Sorry for bringing
12.
It up.
No.
Don't start
bring
again.
It up. Bring it up. Love it. No. It's very common with people who have just had a child. It can sometimes, I know Brooke Shields had a memoir where she had unwanted thoughts harming her baby and stuff like that. So
it's supposedly a defense mechanism that if you imagine the worst thing that happens, it'll stop you making it happen. But it just seems a lot of the things I think are not going to happen.
It's useless. Completely useless.
And then I started thinking the worst one was I was cradling my daughter, newborn daughter, and going, the thing is, some people do just murder their own children.
Yes.
What if you're one of those people? What if you're one of the ones who actually goes ahead and does it and go, what biological advantage is this giving me to make me think I might be an actual murderer?
Well, and I think those are different, shades of mental illness, man. Hopefully you'll get some help before you find out which one you're...
Yeah. I'm okay. I like them, so, I'd be really upset if I put my son in a wood burner, but I guess I don't know how upset until I actually do it, right? So...
I
was
chance.
Right. That was pretty horrific. It's a little bit more horrific than I imagined. I was watching your latest special, Old Baby.
Yes.
This is a very bold way of staging this show in the first place, in that you perform it several times. I'm guessing the whole thing. in front of different audiences, some of which are an audience of one is your husband.
Yes.
And some of which one or two people in a library or in a coffee shop or on the street.
Yes. Yes.
Which is a really difficult way to do stand-up comedy, isn't it? What's the, and it's, it works, but it's like such a bold step.
Well, and maybe it doesn't work. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've had some customers on YouTube suggest otherwise. I like actually doing stand-up. I mean, I'm very theatrical in my act anyways. I'm not very much, I don't do a lot, a ton of crowd work. Hey, how's everybody doing? So to me, to perform something, whether it's one person, it feels good. Yeah. Even if there is silence or, confusion. So, and I also think it's hilarious, the aspect of comedy specials where it's like, everybody come on! You know, and like the person comes out, yeah! You're just like, okay. I mean, especially just comedians, it just seems like such a poor match for what it is. Like, it's spoken word. You know? Like, they're gonna destroy you with ideas. Listen to this fucking tag. It's just very macho and dramatic, and so that makes me laugh.
Saying you got into comedy because you know it wasn't that personal. I mean, I've played to one or two people in a big theater. But you know that awkwardness. I mean, I love it because it's interesting when you're doing a joke to one person. It's exactly that thing again of being in the cab and someone asking for a joke is to do it to one person because the reactions the person has to is really aware that their reaction is everything.
Yeah,
as well.
It's very vulnerable. So,
so they've got to laugh. I mean, if it's your husband, hopefully he is finding you funny. My wife doesn't find me funny at all. Your husband seems to love you, which is your comedy. I mean, I think she loves me, but she doesn't find me amusing.
Part of the reason I did the special that way was because I had this friend, and I don't know, I'm sure everyone can, when you have somebody who, they know that you do something, they love you, but they're like, I had a friend, she saw me, when I first told her I did comedy, she's like, that's sweet. I mean, good for you. I mean, you're a little old to start doing that. Well, then she saw me at I did a show in the neighborhood. She's like, it looks like, I mean, you're okay, maybe. I mean, maybe you can make money from this. And then she saw me at a bigger show. I was like, I see. And then I was on a TV show, and she was like, Maria, you are so talented. And it was the exact same material, you know? Like, anyways, I think that's really funny about it's all context.
It is. Well, and that's
I'm grateful for your context. Otherwise, this would be very bizarre. Amplifying
that's the
ourselves.
Journey of any critic, though, isn't it? I think like a lot, you'll see someone do the same show, and the critics, seen it in when there's only 10 people, and go, and then they can't understand when you've got 2,000 people in that it's probably going to go a bit better, as long as you're okay at doing what you want to do. But yes.
Well, and especially with specials you see on TV, there's been a hype person up front, making everybody go bananas. It can make it just makes everything see, and they cut to everyone laughing, so it's like, so anyways.
we'll talk a bit about, because
hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry?
And some, well, less awesome. Like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Again, I came to you, as I was saying backstage, through Arrested Development, which was, again, one of those shows I saw and went, I don't understand what's happening, I don't like it. And then, oh, I get it. And it's a brilliant show. It was this one of your major breakthrough roles and working with those guys.
Yes, yeah. That was Mitch Hurwitz got me a job and gave me the TV show. So that was awesome, a late-in-life boon. And, now, of course, it's a downhill slide. But I like to go downhills. You work up a nice speed.
But you also would be in another of my favorite shows, which is BoJack Horseman, which I actually did like right from the beginning.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
great.
Can't be that
that's
good.
A good one.
There seems to be this circuit in America. If you get onto it, you get to do lots of different interesting shows. But again, all these shows really are quite out there.
Yeah. I mean, you think, your like attracts like, or, you know, and I don't know what circuit I'm in, but I'm grateful to work, and I don't know, but it does seem like, but that's also been an issue, because at least in the U.S., there's been a lot about the hiring practices of like, oh, you're hiring the easiest person, you know, the person that, oh, I've seen you, I know you, rather than the person who, like, you did, you know, you've got to hire somebody who you might not know. So I'm down for not getting jobs anymore, because I think other people could work more. You know, on some level, I feel like I've gotten... I'm announcing my retirement.
Okay. Okay. It's nice to get exclusives. Is Lady Dynamite... Lady Dynamite, you've done two seasons and
it's done. And now just... enjoying the pool we've purchased.
Yes.
And just grateful to do stand-up, even though you know, I know that you guys have probably looked into it. I know I have. It turns out we cannot kill the President of the United States. And so that's just been something I've been thinking about. You know, like, I know comedy hasn't done anything to help change my government, and so I looked into other things.
Do you genuinely worry about Donald Trump and how he might react? You know, he obviously doesn't like comedy about him, and at the moment he can't do anything about it, but do you feel like if his powers increased that he might kind of go for some of these people?
Oh, I think, yeah, no, I mean, it seems like I keep waiting for someone to go, no. You know, like to go, we rise up and we begin walking towards Washington, D.C. en masse and just, you know, sit on him. It hasn't happened yet, and I think at least I know in my own personal life, I go, it's, you know, the frog in the boiling pan of water. You know, I don't realize how, because it's just gradual, and then going, well, it hasn't, you know, I haven't had to hide any close friends in my attic, so but it's bad. It's awful. You know, it's really bad.
It's sort of this overarching respect for the democratic process. That if something's been, we're having it here as well, something's been decided, and then that's it. You're not allowed to go, but isn't this a stupid idea? which seems weird, especially when it seems most of the democratic processes may have been fiddled with a bit by Putin.
Yeah. Oh, my
he,
Lord.
He won as
yeah.
well, didn't he? It was a surprise. He did really well. There were so many people up against him. I thought he couldn't possibly win, but he did all right. I'm going to ask you some emergency questions.
Okay.
These are newer ones.
Okay.
What did you abhor as a child that you now like?
I did not like pizza.
Did you not?
I didn't enjoy it. I don't know what was wrong. If there had been some sort of trauma around pizza. But now I've grown into it and I've embraced it.
Yeah, pizza's good.
Yeah, any kind of pizza, I'm down for. It doesn't have to be particularly good.
No.
We get a lot of coupons at our house for a pizza that's like $9 for a 70-inch pizza. And
My daughter doesn't like pizza either.
Interesting.
She's three. You know, you'd think that she'd be mainlining.
Yes.
So there's hope for her. I'm a bit worried about her not liking pizza. That's
okay. Yes.
That's weird, right? I'll ask you another question. Oh, okay. What film or story would you like to see remade by the Muppets? Like the Muppet Christmas Carol? Is there a tale you'd like to see?
Oh, my God. Remade? Well, Othello.
And who do you see playing Othello? Would it be a real-life human being coming in to play Othello, or would one of the Muppets play Othello?
No, one of the Muppets.
Is there a black Muppet? I mean, they're all different colours.
Well, that's, yeah, I think that's...
Could be Kermit and Green.
That's going to be the real... the online argument is how that's going to happen. But, I do love the Muppets.
Yeah. Have you worked with the Muppets?
No. But they do. I mean, everything. They're so good at everything. They make everything better. What about if the Muppets took over the news?
Yeah.
Like Fox News every once in a while. That news source, of course, is terrible. That would sully their reputation, though. They couldn't do that. I love the Muppets.
If you had to have sex with one of the Muppets, which Muppet would you like to have sex with?
Okay. Now, it's weird. I want to say Kermit,
yeah,
just because he's so sensitive. I don't know if there'd be a lot of traction there. I think where the real, fire comes for me is, you know, the guy with the eagle? Eagle with
Sam.
The eagle. Sam.
Yeah.
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 So first vote for Sam. He's very American as well.
Perhaps that. Or, I do like the two men in the opera box.
Yeah,
those guys are.
They'd be very grateful. Then they'd be critiquing you all the time.
Exactly.
And it'd have to be a threesome. Have you ever improvised a condom?
Improvised a condom? No.
No.
No. No. How would one do
well,
that?
Well, I was just reading someone was using a chocolate wrapper. Someone did have some pack of crisps you could wrap around there. Chips, as you would call them incorrectly.
That would be so, I would assume, painful for the woman.
Yeah. As long as there's no pregnancy.
Yeah, no. Hashtag me threether. That's awful. My goodness. I mean, unless people enjoyed it, then good for you.
Good. And what is the most expensive thing you've had eaten by a pet?
Okay.
You have pets, so I bet.
Oh, yes. I think the most joyful experience I've ever seen. We had an older pug named Bert, and we had had a big party. Shout out to Bert. And Bert has since passed away, but he is on the Rainbow Bridge. We'd had a big party. It had too many shitty cupcakes, and so we garbage bagged those up, and they were on the porch. And we just left the door open, and the next thing we know, Bert is just on, like, bloated. And we brought him to the emergency room, and you could just see 20 cupcakes And we're so scared because he seemed like he was about to die. And she says, no, just wait till he farts. It'll be fine. But yeah, that's it. They've never bought but nothing expensive. Those were some very cheap cupcakes.
That's all right. Well, that's still, it's the expense of how much they meant to you.
Yeah.
I mentioned you were a fiddler in one episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yes, yes.
Remember that?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I used to play the violin in my act until I moved to Los Angeles, and there were three other women doing the violin in there.
Really?
Act. And I was like, right on, toss it. Used to do that again to distract people from the fact if they didn't like the jokes.
Yeah.
That maybe they'd go, oh, she's pretty good at that. All a defense mechanism. I mean, I think that's what sometimes instruments can be. Not for everyone, obviously, but
I think that's what I think early on. I think a lot of people tend to take, you know, a character, a costume, or a thing on to sort of distance themselves.
Yes.
From what they're doing and protect themselves. And obviously, as you've moved on, you've become less and less worried about that. You're very confessional in your stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, who knows if that's good or bad, but I don't... I mean, there's nothing to lose, really.
No. You know? But I think it's, you know, your life story is quite extraordinary in lots of ways. I mean, not a share. It's not like, do you remember the time you went psychotic and had to go to a hospital?
Yeah.
But you still... It resonates without having to be, like, observational for everyone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think, like, and people appreciate honesty, I think, in comedy.
Well, everybody's been through a horrible experience, like when the... I don't know what it's called here. We have the Internal Revenue Service.
Something like that. I don't really pay any taxes, so I don't know. It's in tribute to Ken Dodd, I've decided not to pay taxes, and if anyone has a problem with that.
What is it called here?
Inland Revenue.
Inland Revenue, okay. Yeah, so I've had... if you've ever had, like, a horrible thing like that, like, any shameful experience, you know, I think anyone can relate, like... What if somebody finds out? And it turns out somebody finds out, and you just go, tell whoever the fuck you want. Who cares? Like, I don't know. Like, it doesn't really matter when everyone finds out, because they're suddenly on to something else.
Yeah. And you really use your family in your act, which I'm writing a sitcom that's quite... loosely, strongly based on my own family, and not in the same way as yours. My family are comparatively more straight-laced than yours, I think. But how do you, your family have come? Your mum and dad have come over with you to
the UK,
so they obviously aren't. They're still talking to you.
Oh yeah. Oh God. Yeah. No, my mom, I think she loves any sort of celebrity, or show business type thing. She's been given free bottles of water occasionally, and she delights in that. They're at a theater seeing this show with Bob Dylan songs in it. What is it called? It's musical. Girl from the North. Girl from the North Country.
Girl from the North Country.
Yeah, they're seeing that with my hubby and. Which is, I mean, my parents are sort of over coming to see me perform. honey, we're good. My dad said about my TV show, I said, oh, what do you think, Dad? He said, whatever you need to do for money. Oh, so good.
And you met your husband through an online dating site.
Yes, OkCupid. He was probably the 70th person I'd met. I was the first. I did. The one thing that I felt was very successful in, because I had done online dating for a long time, I used to have a screen name. It was very sort of vague. I put funny, thoughtful, too wide a net. I changed my screen name to Hogbook. Because I like the idea of a book about hogs called Hogbook, One Guy. And we're married today. So, perfect. Because he was interested. He liked the words and he thought it was funny. And
he's really just waiting for that Hogbook to come out.
I know, yeah,
exactly.
Where's
the
Hogbook? But yeah, he's an artist, he's a painter, and also a very funny person.
Well, he seems, he's on a few of your videos. He's in the special. And you've done a couple of things with him online, I've seen. He seems a very nice man.
Yes, he's a very good man.
Yeah,
he's a very good man. I'm very funny. Delighted. And yeah, I'd never had a relationship last over a year, and so we really, and I think he had a similar experience of like, so we both said, let's do this, come on! We started going to therapy like 2 months in, like, come on, man. Like, because I think, I just don't know how to do things. I genuinely don't, I just don't know how to, even though in family, you know, I know that you can have a fight and come, you know, I can tell my mom to fuck off and, you know, I'll call her the next day, but I mean, she'll be irritated and cry. But the point is that your family is your family. You know, you can come back from things, but then sometimes in romantic relationships, like if you have a disagreement and it gets toxic or something, it's like, oh, well, now we've got to go away from each other forever. And it's like, no, you just take 5 minutes off. You watch BBC's Airport Animals. And you got your blood pressure go down.
And you just bury that stuff to allow it to come out again in another 6 months like a volcano. Believe me, I know. I've got through 6 years of marriage. It's an amazing journey. For her. I'm very lucky, man. I slag my wife off in it all the time, and I have just for once, I'm just going to say she's really great.
Aww.
But now back to me pretending I don't like being married.
Yes. it is genuinely fun to get to make decisions together, and you know, we just had a huge fight for the first time where it was just like, but we wrote a song about it as a family. It's called Saturation Point, and the chorus goes, I love you, you love me, let's just shut up. I said things, you said things, we said things. I said things, you said things, we said things. It's got four verses, so I won't do it.
That's my favorite thing. When you have an argument with your partner, it somehow escalates out of nothing, and you can't quite remember what the thing was that happened. And then it's crazy, and there's no way of getting it back in once you've come.
Yeah. Or you gotta like take a second and like splash water on your face, or just like distract yourself.
Yeah.
We went to this couples thing where they a love lab, where they. They watch how many times you have negative interactions, right. And then they, say you have to cognitively shift. Anyways, I love science, and I'm paying a lot for it. And it was very helpful because, like, yeah, you know, we had this. Just what happened? We moved. We were trying to decide where to put the TV. Oh my God, so important. Don't put the TV on the fireplace. That's where the fire goes. We're not going to put it on that wall because that's where we're going to do improv with the dogs. And the dogs can be whatever they want. Just because they look like dogs doesn't mean they're limited to expressing that character. They can be packages, astronauts, the wind. Anyways, no, let's put it in the cozy corner. I love you so much. See you soon. Movers, Scott leaves, movers come, they say, where do you want the TV? I say, on the fireplace! And as they're drilling 2.5-inch diameter holes into what I now know is a 100-year-old sandstone fireplace, I think to myself, huh, that's too bad. Scott comes home and says, where is that? Oh, no. He says, Maria, we talked about this for a weird amount of time. Can I not trust you to get things done by yourself? Cut him some slack. He goes to hug me, but I have begun to scream cry. Don't you touch me. Don't you dare touch me. And then we wrote a tune. So, anyway, yeah, because I mean, those kind of, I mean, I've had those things with friends, you know, like, you know, I remember I went on a trip to New Orleans with some girlfriends, you know, you're just having a great time. And one friend said, oh, I don't want dessert. The other friend said, oh, it's creme brulee. We're in New Orleans. You've got to have dessert. Oh, my God. And then I said some weird thing. I just read an O magazine. Sometimes nothing tastes as good as feeling good feels. My friend Katie's like, shut up, Maria. Fair enough. You know, like, just so you get to a saturation point with people. And then you change the subject. There goes the blue car.
But it's also funny when you're in a not a non, you know, when you're not married or not a long term relationship. Quite a lot of things that end of those relationships when you're married, you kind of go, wow, that was so much less than what
we're doing. Yeah, not a big deal. Well, that was really, I realized that the reason the relationship hadn't worked out is that I would bow out.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Because, you say you love somebody and you share what you think is the single most horrifying thing about yourself, they're going to think it's something else. But, like I would say I love you and, heads up, mental illness runs in my family. If ever I start talking too fast about wanting to get in touch with the Pope or some other ethical authority, you're going to want to put me in a purple van, drive me to doggy daycare because I need to be boarded for the weekend. Some guys said, woo, but some guys were like, oh, okay. And I rejected them, perfectly wonderful people. I had a guy say, I love you, but I need to tell you, my dad's in the mafia. I'm not, but I do have in my house $1 million in cash in case something goes down. He uses my social security number. He'll probably try to use yours, but it will never be a problem. What I said very judgmentally was, "Woo!" What I could have said was, I work in the entertainment industry. I'm awash in filthy money. The Disney Channel's a front for Thai child prostitution. That's an open secret. I'm going to be paid later tonight in cash with a gun on the table. I'd be honored if you use my social security number. And for certain points in my life, it would have only raised my credit score. But my husband, when we met, he told me, of course, that he was not a virgin. And I'd always dreamed of having a clean boy. But he was a dirty little monkey. And he was totally okay with me. He said, if you go to the psych ward, I know sometimes if you're postmenopausal, anyways, they won't let you have sharp stuff. If you grew a beard, I'd come in and I'd help you shave your beard. Why, that's about the most romantic thing I ever did hear tell, partner. And his mom had mental health issues. So, rest in peace, Linda, who is in Jehovah Witnesses heaven right now with 144,000. She made it.
Yeah, so there must be more than 144,000 witnesses. Yeah,
but that can be in there at any given time. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how they work it. I don't know the math. I didn't write the book, but
do you think they kick one out if a really good one comes up?
That's what I'm hoping for Linda's sake, but because I've heard hell is an Olive Garden. they keep serving you stuff. Anyways.
Okay, well, I want to say that the thing you let go, Stephen Colbert is a big fan of yours.
Yes,
he said in 2016, he went on and he said you were his favourite comedian on the planet. But then you went on again and he said you were one of his favourite comedians. And I would have said, what the fuck has happened in the last year?
Exactly.
Who's overtaken me?
I think it's like actually meeting someone and seeing the shaky human mess that they are after you've, whatever, put them on a pedestal thinking that they're a wonderful, I'm sure he may have seen my stuff from 15 years ago. And then he saw me in person and was like, ah, oh, I get it. But I know I caught that too. I was like, hey, all right, I get it. It's fine.
I wondered if you noticed
that. No, I did.
Because I would definitely have picked him up on it. There's an English comedian called Paul Sinner, and I'm sure I mentioned this when I interviewed him, but he met me, he came up to me, we'd been on TV in the 90s, and I met him at a party in 2000, and he said, oh, I used to really fancy you, and I went, what happened to that? I put on some weight, apparently, so that was the problem there. But you've held in a very high regard correctly by all these fantastic. Judd Apatow is a massive fan of yours.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
has done stuff with you.
Yes, we've done things together, and he's a lovely, lovely person. And it turns out there's a reason people are famous. People work all the time. I am definitely, I don't have that within myself. I'm sentient about 10 hours a day, and. Yeah. So, yeah. I'm not going to be... I don't know if that happens here, but, you know, when you have one thing going well, and then people suggest, you know you do that one thing pretty well. Have you ever thought of doing something that takes the equivalent amount of energy at the same exact time that you're doing that, still doing that one thing, but adding the second thing, and then adding a third, and then a fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and making it into an app? Like, yeah, when you think about, like, doing movies, he asked me if I wanted to do a movie. I was like, or, you know, like, pitch a movie. I was like, no. You know, some people, I'm sure comedians are say, hey, Murray, why don't you have merch? Make your own fucking merch. Take a piece of masking tape, write comedy on it, put it on your sock. That's on message.
well, everyone should check out Lady Dynamite. It's amazing. How many episodes of Lady Dynamite are there? There's loads.
I think, let me see. I should know this.
You should.
I think there's 12 in the first season and 8 in the second.
Sure.
So, but yeah, it's an intense show. Yes, it's an intense show.
And do you think Netflix, I saw an article saying Netflix was moving away from the kind of more experimental stuff to safer comedy? I mean, they seem to be doing a little bit. I mean, they're doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they're just doing a lot of stuff. I worry about them.
Yeah.
I wish that they had open book accounting so that I could take a look-see. But they haven't answered my profit sharing.
It seems like it's just been such a great thing for so many comics. Yeah. I mean, there's just no way I would have as much of a career as I have without the internet, so it's, I'm extremely biased.
Yeah. They could do one less Adam Sandler film and let you have another series, you think?
Well, there's a comedian in L.A., Andy Kindler. Yes. I don't know, he's a delight. He has one of my favorite jokes. And I won't say which comedian it's about because it doesn't really matter. It's like, he talks about a comedian in the U.S. and says, the only difference between so-and-so and Hitler is at least Hitler had a point of view. So funny. He's a delight. I mean, yeah.
But it's also terrific that, you know, that series has been made, you know, that something as strange and, you know, personal and,
yes,
you know, as that. And that must have been a difficult show to pitch, I'd have thought, but then maybe not to Netflix. Was it something that they just went, yeah, sure, we'll do it? Or was it difficult to get?
No, it was, yeah, sure, we'll do it. Yeah. But I think also Mitch Hurwitz had a deal, overall deal, so he was pitching shows to make with them. And, yeah, so it is unbelievable that it got made. I'm amazed that we got a second season. It's like winning the lottery twice. And in terms of creativity, too, like I just had no idea... to work with a giant group of people that would also know that I lack energy. Like, they put a thing on set. They made me a cave of tents. So I'm in between takes, I could lay down in the darkness. Just because I'm on antipsychotics and I'm super tired.
Yeah.
And but that was so nice because it was an open thing on the show. Like, yeah, I could go mental if we do this for, you know, 17 hours.
Yeah.
We had a 12-hour turnaround, which that usually doesn't happen. At least in the U.S., the show business, they'll pay you more and then you don't sleep.
Yeah.
You don't sleep, which is dangerous.
Well, it's an incredible show. You must see it if you haven't seen it. And Old Baby is also on Netflix as well.
Yes.
So that's fantastic. Well, I really appreciate you coming to do this.
Oh, no, thank you for having me.
After you just got off a plane. That's incredible.
No, thank you for having me. And, I'll be tomorrow at the show at 8 p.m.
Yeah, we've fixed you up to do a show at the Bill Murray.
Bill Murray, he got me a set.
If you haven't got tickets to see a little set at the Bill Murray tomorrow at 8 p.m., which won't mean much for the people at home who are listening to this in May.
Oh.
So, sorry about it. If you can travel back in time,
ooh,
maybe poke a little finger through time and you can find, just have a little peek at the Bill. The Bill Murray's just won a Chortle Award.
Woo!
Ooh. Wonder if anyone else has won a Chortle Award. It's the big one. It's I expect that I've won a few Chortle Awards in my time, Maria.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a big thing over in the States. It kind of intimidates. That's why I haven't really done any work in America, because they're too intimidated by the Chortle Awards for the best international. But yeah, well, I hope you'll come back again another time, and we'll get another chance to see you. And ladies and gentlemen, Maria Bamford!
Thank you so much for having me.
You have been doing is listening to Richard Hanks at the Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest Maria Bamford. The music is by Pess. Thank you to everybody at the Leicester Square Theatre where this is recorded, and everyone at the British Comedy Guide where this gets put out, and everyone at Go Faster Stripe. I am indebted to my producer, Ben Walker, as always. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production!
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.